Locals Only Podcast with Gavin Glass, bringing you the best new Irish talent every week from Radio Nova and Nova.ie.
Well now, my beautiful dreamers, I have a little treat for you. I'd love to introduce Mr. Bill Shanley. Bill, how are you, buddy?
Good, Gavin. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, I before I do the intro and all, or we do any of that, it's not a matter of who you've played with, it's who you haven't played with.
Mm-hmm.
You've had, like, you're a bit of a hero of mine. I won't be afraid to throw that out there. But just for our listeners, tell us some of the, as a session guitar player, some of the people you've played with and produced.
Well, you know, I've been playing quite a while on the Irish scene. I've been associated with Mary Black, been playing Mary for a good while. I started, my first real sort of gig up here was with Eleanor McAvoy. We did her first album for Geffen Records back in maybe 93, 94. Went on, played with Mary. People like Paul Brady, and you know, like I've had a good run of it, and got to play with some great people, and that work with great people, you know.
And we're here though today to talk about Midnight Mission, which is, well, it's kind of like it's sort of a snapshot of where you are right at the moment as a guitar player. Would that be right to say?
You know, or it is. It's very much an electric album.
Yeah.
You know, I set out to make this record, and I had a sort of an idea. I had a bit of a sort of a I suppose a brief or a parameter that I set up in terms of writing it. I wanted it sort of to be based around the music of the 50s, which I really liked. You know, mid-50s when the electric guitar sort of came on the scene and you'd spring reverbs. Dick Dale to a degree. And then more the English stuff as well, you know. It was a mix. It was more, but even Eddie Cochran.
Yeah.
You know, and it was that style, you know, the excitement of that. The
20 Flight Rock.
All that, yeah. The excitement of that time. So I basically wrote the album of that sort of style of music, and then obviously, as you know, like in the production of it, it goes off in different areas and it takes on a different life or character, you know. So yeah.
Well, I played this the week before last, and I played last week. I played the track that Ray lent his vocals to, but I'm going to play the title track and just give our listeners, you know, get them immersed in the sound. I really love this record. It's been a great driving record. I've been up and down the country. This is Midnight Mission from Bill Shanley.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is Midnight Mission, the title track from the latest long player from Bill Shanley. Bill, we're just talking there, playing. I had to identify the unmistakable snare sound of Mr. Binzer Brennan.
That is correct.
And yeah. Robbie Malone. What a rhythm section to have.
Yeah, they're brilliant. They're brilliant. We went into the studio for 3 days and we cut most of this stuff live. And so the idea was just to get the energy out, you know, with this music, you had to make sure that it didn't become laid back, or you had to have that excitement. So Binzer Brennan is brilliant.
Yeah.
He just, every time I've worked with him and used him and stuff, his parts, his time is...
And his vibe.
And his vibe. He's a great guy. And then Robbie Malone, which probably people know from like
David Gray and Lear. Yeah.
He's an amazing bass player.
Yeah.
His line, to me, like they just...
His creativity really is amazing, yeah.
And enthusiasm. Like he's, you know, and you might say, Robbie, maybe try some of this. And you could see like he's just so committed to the music, to the session. Like he's a real giver.
Yeah,
which
big
as
time.
A producer or as a player, that's exactly what you want. You know,
yeah.
They're brilliant guys. Yeah.
Tell me some of your highlights as a producer, because I mean, you ran the Cold. You had Cold Room place for years.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, probably my favorite studio in Dublin.
Yeah, it was a great studio. Myself and Kieran Burns set that up by chance. Really, I had a sort of a home studio type setup out in Clontarf, and I bought some new gear. Kieran had bought some gear. We'd been working on an album together, and this place came up in Blessing Street, and we decided let's just give it a go, you know. And it called and grew sort of, organically and sort of slow. We had one building, then we knocked in and were able to expand a bit and do a proper sort of setup, have different rooms, and they're all stone walls.
Yeah, beautiful stone walls for our listeners.
It was lovely. It was a great studio, some great stuff done there. Good vibe. And it was there we set it up in 99, and it kept going till about 2 years ago. And there was different circumstances. One of the buildings got into trouble with receiverships and stuff. And the whole sort of thing changed, and we sort of decided, let's maybe just leave it, you know.
Yeah.
The circumstances were changing, and the economics of the studio business was never getting easier.
Well, so many studios were going under, or, you know, being kicked out because of rents. And
we could have kept, if we really wanted, we could have, but it was always getting harder, and I had young kids and stuff like that, and and I travel and I play, and it was like, do you really, you know, and the cards are always stacked against you, as you know, Gavin.
Like, yeah.
It's a tough one, you know, if you're paying rent and you're paying rates and you're trying to keep it going. But artistically, creatively, music-wise, that was the thing.
And,
it
you
was
know,
great.
Those records, nobody can take, you know, bump up the rent of them, or they will always be there,
exactly,
and they're there forever, you know.
Yeah, you know, funny, about a week after, one of the buildings closed down, it went into like Airbnb, and this girl got in contact with me that actually she was one of the buyers of the building. This consortium bought it, and she goes, I've just looked on the website, and seemingly like Hosier have recorded here, and the Waterboys have been in here, and Joe Chester's been in here and stuff like that, you know. Lisa Hannigan, remember you were in,
I was there the first album,
saw,
and
you know, and so it has a bit of a legacy in that, you know, but it's Airbnb now.
Well, you had one of the only Reverb EMT plates.
That's right.
Which you guys very kindly rang me to give me the heads
That's
up
right,
to say, listen,
yeah.
we'd like it to go to a good home. And I'll never, like, that's, you know, people like that in the business, it's, I'll always appreciate
but
that.
But
you know
what? That's a classic piece of gear. And, you know, it's good that we have access to them around Dublin. Like, the fact that you have it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's very easy just to sort of, you know, downscale and say, look, well, I can just get this out of a plug-in. Like, this is a one-off, unique Reverb plate that's like 6 foot long and know, 4 foot
it's
high.
Bigger than a snooker table.
It is, and you say, like, am I crazy having this? But, you know, you get to use it as an instrument, and it's the best vocal reverb you'll ever hear.
And the satisfaction of turning that big wheel to make reverb time longer. It's like your das Boot, it's like a submarine wheel.
That's right,
Anyway, we are nerding out here. I want to play one more tune, if that's okay. I played this last week.
Yeah.
And I just love the atmospherics of it.
Which
is Graceville. I'll take you there. Now, it features the vocal talents of one Ray Davis. I mean, that's someone you've played with for years, a good few years now.
A good few years. I started playing with Ray back in 2006. And we've worked a lot together, on lots of tours, lots of albums, lots of projects. Ray's always doing stuff, and luckily for me, he has me involved in them. So I'd been sort of talking to him a lot about this album and the making of it, because obviously playing with him, he's one of the apart from being a songwriter, but he's also one of the best rhythm guitar players I've ever worked.
Like, yeah.
Brilliant, and he started in the early, before the Kinks, he was playing around London in these, blues bands, big bands, and he's just got that sort of great style of rhythm for rock and roll. So we had been talking, I'd been playing in demos of the stuff and that, so I hadn't intended on having him on it, and then this track that I'll play, I decided to try a choral sort of backing vocal sort of backdrop thing,
yeah.
Very, very, very 50s, 60s, Peter Green-esque in a way.
Yeah.
And so I built it up a little bit, and then I got the idea, well, maybe Ray might, and I sent him the track, and he goes, yeah. And he took it off, and he did a few sessions over in Kong Studios with it, and then came up with a vocal, and he's a great guy, He's artistically very, very active. And
still really, sharp as a
very, very sharp.
Yeah.
And he sort of got into it, and he sent back demos, what do you think of this? And I was like, this is great. Really good. And he kept at it, trying different things. He was very generous,
Our listeners at home, turn this up. This is it's like taking your ears to the dry cleaners. You're going to enjoy this. This is Graceville, Bill Shanley on Locals Only with Gavin Glass on Radio Nova, home of seriously addictive music. Pretty classy stuff there, Mr. Shanley. Tell me this. How mm-hmm. often do you still play the guitar every day, or is it one of those things that...
I do. I'm not very methodical in practicing or anything like that, you know. But because I'm always involved in, like, maybe producing something or, you know, like, there's a lot of guitars around the house. I do, you know, I always have to push myself to maybe practice more or, you know, but I generally, my thing is if I have something coming up, I'll get my head around that and my playing will be sort of nearly informed of what's coming down the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, my background wasn't learning to read music. My background was literally, you know, Noel Redding was my guitar teacher back when I was a kid.
Really?
Noel grew up in my town and himself, my father, were great friends. We have a music bar, Shanley's Bar.
Yes.
There's music like 6-7 nights a week. Noel was better all the time back in the early 80s and he didn't have a lot of money. So I was the first guy that he gave lessons to, and he maybe did a few after that. But he'd teach you like rock and roll, you know, Buddy Holly, Eddie Cochran.
Just for some of our younger, of our younger listeners, we're talking about Noel Redding. Now I know all you taxi drivers are cursing there listening to me and saying this, but you know, I've got a lot of young bands that listen in as well. But Noel Redding was Jimi Hendrix's bass player. Was he originally from Clonakilty?
He was from Folkestone in Kent. In the early 70s, 71 possibly, he just literally, himself and his American girlfriend, Carol, like literally threw a dart at the map and decided to go to Southern Ireland only because they heard that the Gulf Stream Drift travelled up there and it was a nice climate around Roscarbury and Clonakilty.
It's a beautiful part of the world.
He bought a house there and just set up shop there, and it was a tough time for him. You know, he didn't have a lot of money. The whole Hendrix thing had got, you know, Hendrix had died unexpectedly. There was court cases. There wasn't a lot of money and there wasn't a lot of interest in Hendrix in the 70s, early 80s. Like, he was this legendary figure. But in another way, but that was back then.
Yeah.
The 90s then, the whole thing, you know.
Revival
in Seattle and stuff like that. And suddenly, like, he was travelling to New York to do, like, you know, to talk or to play. Or he had value more so then. But he was around Clan, he played a lot, and
your first lessons were...
You know, only recently, a few years ago, I found a notebook that he had taught me, and like, I would have been like 9, 10, and he was this beautiful, he kept notes, he wrote beautifully, and he'd draw guitars and stuff like that. And my sister rang me up, says, she was moving house, I found this notebook, it was like this school notebook, you know, and the minute she said it, I says, I know what you're going to say. I says, hold on to it. And it was about 6 months of, like, maybe once a week or every 2 weeks, Noel's guitar lessons. And, you know, the 31st or 30th of April, whatever, Bill and we did the Everly Brothers, this song, we learned bar chords. And then at the end of the day, Bill needs to practice rhythm. And it just went on for about maybe 6 months, and then that was sort of the end of it. But we didn't play all the time at the bar.
Yeah.
But that's, my music was very much got the basics, and then you learned from playing with people. And then when I came to Dublin, I sort of said, okay, I better get a little bit more educated. And then I went back myself and maybe learned a little bit more got a little bit more literate in terms of reading and stuff, and got, you know, but it, my formative years were, you were learning by playing, which is brilliant.
You're a blue collar. Yeah.
Absolutely, you know.
Tell me, Clonakilty, you have a huge attachment. Did you grow up in Clonakilty yourself?
Writing it down.
It is a magical town, place. Yeah. It's, you know, between I've played in your bar many a time during the guitar festival.
That's
it's just, it is just that amazing part of the world. What was it like growing up down there?
Amazing. Like, when I grew up, say, right through the 80s, I left home in 1990 when I finished school. Right through the 80s, like, my father was a brilliant piano player, and our bar was rocking, the town was rocking. So, like, it was like the whole thing was just like this experience. Like, it was literally, you know, school was there. You went into school, there was no music. You left all that at the gates, which is great.
Yeah.
The
discipline.
And you went in and no one could touch your music, because the minute you left, you know, you were playing around with mates and playing in the bar, and then you were playing with bands and, you know, gigging, like opening up for bands travelling down, or, you know, playing for a local rugby club dance or whatever. There was loads of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So it was fabulous. Wow. Really good, you know.
I'm going to play one more tune. Thank you so much for coming in. I'm going to play Portraits. Tell me a little bit about the opening track on the album.
Okay, Portraits. This was, the idea for this was this late 70s sort of New York sort of Talking Heads type Telecaster, Blondie, that sort of...
CBGBs.
CBGBs, exactly, yeah. And that was the thing, like, it was all built on this idea for a bass riff that I had, a very, very simple tune, and then it goes into this sort of... nearly Mexican type sort of chorus thing and that. So, you know, that's where Portraits came from, yeah.
Let's give it a whirl. Bill Shanley, thank you for being my guest.
Thanks for having me, Gavin, very
much. First half of the show. As I said, you're a great man, big fan of all the amazing work you've done. Bill Shanley, Portraits. The album is Midnight Mission. It is available on vinyl and CD and on all those hooky sites where you download it and that, but get it there. It's Nova. We'll be right back. Yeah, there's nothing quite like a space echo going into self-oscillation. That was Bill Shanley, who was my guest this week on Locals Only. And Midnight Mission, again, is the name of that album. Go hunt it down if you are a fan of well-produced, classy guitar music that, you know, brings you on a bit of a journey. This is the album for you.
Locals Only. With Gavin Glass, bringing you the best new Irish talent every week. Radio Nova.
Now, another fellow I always tip the hat to, it's Mr. Joe Chester. How are you, Joe?
I'm great, Gav. Good to see you, man.
I'm very glad you're back. Joe Chester, sometime water boy, full-time producer. You've five, six records now? Six with the Unitarian?
Six with the Unitarian, with the live records, yeah.
That was right, made a lot of records, man.
Yeah.
And we're here to talk about She Darks Me, which is kind of your lost album. Would that be fair to say?
Well, you know, it is a reissue of a record. But, you know, outside of a sort of small but beautifully formed loyal band of followers who will be familiar with these songs, it was never heard by really very many people. I'd say maybe 50 people heard it. So it was just one of those records that disappeared. And when I met up with the folks in Bohemia Records to release the Easter Vigil, which went well, I asked them if they would be up for releasing this other sort of orphan of a record that never got a chance, because I was really proud of these
songs. It's a masterpiece,
you know?
Yeah.
And,
I know this record.
You know, basically, I don't have the talent that is required to be a record label, so I tried to sort of do it with the tiny pieces left behind. I released that myself. It was a flop, you know, it just tanked. And so then I just realised I'm not a businessman, you know?
Yeah.
So when when we got the Easter Vigil out with Bohemia, then I just, you know, thankfully they were up for it, and so they're giving it the release it finally it deserved, you know. So.
Did you do much in terms of looking under the hood of it?
How do you mean?
Did you readdress any of the mixes or any of that, or
it's
did you
remixed,
go back?
Yeah.
It is remixed. Is
it's
it okay?
Remixed and remastered. Yeah.
Okay. Right. And did you was there anything like I haven't really. I only heard it once or twice back in the day.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't know, was there any kind of tough decisions in like, no, we're leaving out the 64 piece?
There were alternate takes, and there was stuff that was left off the original. Like, for example, Mickey Raphael, who people will know is like the harmonica player with Dylan and Emily Harris and Willie Nelson's loyal sideman for almost 50 years now.
That's him on the road again.
And yeah, exactly. And he did some other takes of stuff, and it was great fun listening to those alternate takes. But I have to say, in the final analysis, I trusted my judgment from back then, and you know, I think I made the right calls. And I don't think it's very wise to sort of second guess yourself after the fact. You know, that's the record.
So big time. That's the document
really mixed,
you made.
But a very, it was a gent. It was a polish more than anything. You know,
the acoustics sound absolutely amazing on it.
Thanks.
I'm going to play the opener first, which is, sorry, I'm in the dark here.
The middle distance.
Middle distance. Thanks, Joe. This is Joe Chester. It's Locals Only with your host, Gavin Glass.
Blue rain,
that is Joe Chester, who is my guest this week. Joe, tell me a little bit about the recording process of this. I noticed my good buddy Binzer Brennan is there thumping skins for you, but you know, where did you do this?
Well, it was the definition of what they call guerrilla recording, you know, which was...
That's your middle name, I believe, sometimes.
Well, I do like that approach to recording. I love recording studios, but oftentimes the sort of financial realities of being in a band or trying to make records kind of excludes the kind of going into a studio for 3 weeks
thing. Yeah.
But anyway, that wasn't really the reason for this. I was actually on tour a lot around this time. I was playing guitar with Gemma Hayes and then we were over in the States opening for My Big Valentine on their reunion tour.
That must have been an awful trip now.
That was, we were lambs to the slaughter on that one, you know.
Like, really?
Because, yeah, because you had these people, they were playing like the Enormo domes, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you're a My Bloody Valentine fan.
I'm a massive fan of the Valentines. And we had become friendly with Kevin, actually. Kevin had been coming down to see us play in London and stuff. And that's how that came about. But... you had these kind of people who had been basically kind of waiting for a My Big Valentine gig for 25 years or something.
Right.
And this was it. And they're, you know, like, because Loveless, it was released in 1990, I think.
Yeah.
And so this was 2008.
Was that the last, the Loveless EP was the last thing they brought out? Wow.
Last album. Well, no, they've released one since, but...
before the break.
But so it was just me and Gemma on stage, just as a duo, you know, like, on these massive stages with people who really just did not want to wait...
Right.
...to hear the opening drum beat of Only Shallow or something. You know? So it was interesting, you know. But it was great fun. But anyway, so that's, I was doing that, and then I came home and I was working with Mike Scott on his Yates show, and we went off on tour with that. So that was all happening, and I was writing and recording these songs wherever I could find a free day and a free space.
Yeah.
And any musicians that were around. So Binzer was there, and Steve from the Waterboys is there, and Trevor, ex-Waterboys. They're, in fact, all ex-Waterboys. And
That's true, yes.
And then... a fella called Mickey Raphael, who we mentioned as well.
Yeah, the harp player.
He ended up doing his parts on Willie Nelson's tour bus.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was all a bit all over the place. And
I envy us. I mean, you know, what a life.
I envy me too.
So there I am with the Waterboys, you know, which I am a part of, you know, a member of. And we're, you know, there I was recording, you know, Willie Nelson's harp player on my album.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful life.
Yeah, well, the track that Mickey did as well, which it was kind of a weird sort of coincidence, was a track by Bob Dylan called Most of the Time, which I really wanted to do on the record. And it was only after he'd done his part that he told me, you know, I played this with Dylan himself at Farm Aid 1 year, you know. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going to play that later on. But I want to hear a live song for us, please, sir.
I'll give you Napoleon Bonaparte.
Beautiful.
Try to keep you at a distance, but you should never be surprised. After all, you know, in blood, heart with victory meets with hearts cold with loss. You know they shatter into pieces, and you've got nothing left but glass. Because I didn't love you right from the start. You want to blow this whole prison apart. Some people run for years and never get caught. I guess I didn't know you as well as I thought. Will that you released so long ago. With your principles so high, but your tactics so low. You've gotta keep your disappointment close to the surface, every muted defeat that you keep hidden inside the cracking mirror underneath. Because I didn't love you right from the start. You want to blow this whole prison apart. Some people run for years and never get caught. I guess I didn't know you as well as I thought. I guess I didn't know you as well as I thought. I guess I didn't know you as well as I thought.
Wow. Dude, there's something that you do in an acoustic guitar that nobody can do, that rhythm thing. And every time you produce a record, it's just like, bang, there it is. That just, oh, I love it. I love it. Hair on my arm stuff. Tell me a little bit about growing up, because is it true from what I'd heard in the street from Dr. Kablamo, Pierce, Help and Love, that you were primarily a trad player growing up? Was that right or did I pull that out of the air?
No.
No, that's not right. True.
Great lover of trad,
right?
But I
okay.
never was able to play it.
Right, okay. Well, I tried to play.
I suppose I did. I played along with trad records, but I was never a real trad player. I still am. I'd love to be, you know, but it's not something I ever was able to do.
Yeah, that rhythm, that thing you have is, yeah, it's. I've tried to emulate it several times, but could never get it. You know. Anyway. What is happening for, like, are you still writing? Is there another project on the, because
yeah,
you never stop, really.
I'm knee deep in the next record, you know. So that's, the basic tracks are all done. It's written and basically recorded. We're into overdub territory with that.
And how is it sounding in compared to the Easter Vigil? Is it a sparse or is it a broader?
Well, you see, I had the amazing fortune. I think you also recorded at Sun Studio Memphis. Am I wrong about
yes,
that?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Well, I made a trip over to Sun Studio to record some new songs, and a bit of back and forth with the guys there, and they eventually allowed me to take all the stuff out of the glass cases and set it all up, all the old stuff that Elvis used. So
was Matt work in the studio then?
No, Matt's not there anymore.
Yeah, he's
in
Sam Phillips, I think, isn't
Sam
he?
Sam Phillips Studios, yeah. But no, there's this really cool guy, Plez, who's John Hampton's son.
Right, okay.
But so yeah, that was a magic night, you know. And so I walked away with a tape of four tracks. And so I decided then that I'd try and keep things in that mode, really, you know. So
great.
It's all, yeah, it's...
Slap back on everything.
Well, not really. But listen, you know, it's early days. You know, I think I'm still sort of following the music, really. You know,
great. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it. I want to play that said Bob Dylan song from Oh Mercy. Most of the time, I just love the version of it. Don't worry if anyone from Imro's listening. We played a different song. I'll write down another tune for that. But I love the version of it. It's very much your own, but it kind of borrows more from the bootleg version.
Well, that's
the
right.
Top line of it, which I love.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the demo version of it.
Now I'm on the old machine here. What are we, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Would that be right? 7, track 7.
Oh gosh, I don't
here
know.
Here we go. Let's hope for the best. Oh yeah. This is Joe Chester serving Bob well.
Most of the time, I'm
We're focused all around most of the time. I can keep both feet on the ground. I can follow the path, I can read the signs. Stay right with you when the road unwinds. I can handle what I stumble upon. And I don't even notice she's gone. Most of the time, it's all well understood. Most of the time, I wouldn't change it if I could. I can make it match up, I can hold my own. Deal with the situation right down to the bone. I can survive, I can endure. And I don't even think about her most of the time. My head is on straight most of the time. I'm strong enough not to hate. I don't build up illusion till it makes me sick. Afraid of confusion no matter how thick. I can smile in the face of mankind. Don't even remember what her lips felt like on mine most of the time. Most of the time, she ain't even in my mind. I wouldn't know if I saw her. She's that far behind. Most of the time, I can't even be sure if she was ever with me or if I was ever with her. Most of the time, I'm halfway content. Most of the time, I know exactly where it all went. I don't cheat on myself, I don't run and hide. Hide from the feelings buried inside. I don't compromise or pretend. I don't even care if I ever see you again. Most of the time.
Tremendous Carry On. So, what are we What are we looking at for then for the rest of the year? We have a Lazarus Soul record that which you produced, who are we are both champions of here. You're saying it's some of his best work.
Oh, definitely is. Yeah, definitely.
And your label mates now.
No, it is. It's going to be coming out on Bohemia in the near future. I think, well, it was scheduled for Feb, but it might be pushed back a little bit.
All right, me and my big mouth.
No, it's all right.
Will you play one more song for me, darling?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to say a very happy birthday to Mammy.
Yeah, I'm heading off now to have dinner with my mother, who has a very big birthday today.
Happy birthday,
won't
Mrs. Jester. No,
supers.
No, we won't go there.
Okay.
What are you going to play for us, Joe?
Just anything in the long run.
Joe Chester. Joe, thank you so much for joining me. It's great to see you again, buddy.
Great to see you again.
And make sure when you're back in, you come back into me. I will be playing this over the next few weeks. I promise you that. That's it for this week's Locals Only podcast. Join us next week for more. And of course, catch the show Sunday evenings from 6 on Radio Nova.
The Locals Only Podcast with Gavin Glass. Seriously addictive podcasting from Nova.ie and Radio Nova. Radio Nova.